This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, January 11, 2023. The Votive Mass of the Holy Eucharist by Father William Doc Holliday.
The Lord Jesus Christ came that through death he might destroy him who had the empire of death, that is to say, the devil. May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's really so interesting to think we just went through Christmas time, just came through Epiphany tide, mangers, babes, shepherds, and in the book of Hebrews, from which the first reading came today, Saint Paul speaking of the reason that Jesus came, the reason that we had a babe in a manger was that he might destroy him who had the empire of death, that is to say, the devil. The reason God took on flesh, the reason that little infant was in the manger was to destroy the devil. Our Lord Jesus Christ, we so often, this is where it's lost. Why did Jesus come? To save us from our sins. That was part of the fight. He did that by defeating the devil. And through his whole life, he gives us time after time, many places. If Jesus Christ was anything in the gospel, you read the gospel, if he was anything, our Lord Jesus Christ was an exorcist. Our Lord cast out demons. This is what he was all about. This was his end all be all, to destroy the devil. Here we hear it, it's very churchy. Bring down the kingdom of Satan. Yes. By doing what? How do you kill a snake? You cut its head off. That's how he destroyed the kingdom of Satan, was the defeat of the devil, his destruction. And it's going to lead to his ultimate destruction. So when we look at this, this is why he had a babe in a manger. It's like picturing little Jesus there, as opposed to having the little halo around his head, little fat, little infant hands and things like that, to look at him laying there and kind of picture him with a military helmet on. They didn't have any weapons. Jesus didn't have any weapons. He didn't need any. He was the weapon. Jesus Christ is a weapon that was used by God to destroy Satan. This is what we should be focusing on in Christmastide and Epiphanytide. This is the revelation. This is the illumination. It's the reality of what Jesus Christ did. Because you look at this whole thing, because of the actions of our first parents in the garden, the scriptures teach us that through sin, death came into the world. Death came into the world. Death. For anyone born into this world after Adam and Eve, it is inescapable. There is not one thing that you can do about it. This death that is a result of sin. This was Satan's weapon against man, had been since the fall and until Bethlehem. Death and that fear that we have, and we still have, but it is tempered for us who know that Jesus Christ came to destroy the devil. Man cannot overcome the specter of death. Jesus Christ could overcome the specter of death. Through sin, death came into the world. Christ came into the world and he overcame sin. This is why it wasn't a matter of God just taking on flesh and coming down, dwelling among us, and then doing some miraculous ritual and having everybody be okay. He had to live a sinless life. This is why we don't really know anything about him for the first 30 years of his existence. Very, very little. Why is that? Because it was just a hidden combat against the temptations of this world. He had the temptations that all children have. He had the temptation that every adolescent has. He had the temptation that every young adult has, and overcame them all. He was tempted in every way we are, yet did not sin. This is the combat that he endured through his whole life. You really think about that. After you hit about 30 years old, if you're doing the right thing, you kind of get a grip on that whole temptation. It's not going to go away, but you should have reached a point where they're tempered. You know, hormones aren't raging as much as they did, for instance, in the late teens, early 20s. This is why Jesus Christ lived that long and through that period of his life to overcome such things. Christ overcame sin. He overcame sin, and that's how death came into the world. So when he overcame sin, now he had power over death. We don't have any power over death because we've been given over to sin. We have a sin curse and fallen nature. We've all been born into original sin, and we've committed actual sin. So death still is a consequence of our existence. Our Lord Jesus Christ, of course, had no original sin. He had no actual sin. And because of that, he was able of his own volition to overcome death. This is what he did. This was the combat. This is the practical glory of this whole thing. In union with him, we can do the same thing. In union with him, as I said before, about we have a different perspective on death. No one looks forward to it. Everybody's afraid of it. But for us, it is that St. Paul. To live as Christ, to die as gain. But it also should be with St. Paul. It is better to be absent from the body and be with the Lord. It's better. It is just our Catholic life to get closer and closer to that understanding that it's going to get better. This is how we overcome death through him and in union with him. It almost sounds like a paradox, really. Death was nullified by what? Jesus Christ's death. That's not the only place that we hear this paradox. I mean, Romans chapter 8 actually specifically speaks about God condemning sin by sending his son in the likeness of sinful flesh. These paradoxes that go on here. Jesus Christ had to overcome these things. This is that, you know, the old adage, you fight fire with fire. A lot of people say that, but they were to think about what it means. What does that mean? I mean, there's a brush fire. It is just going crazy, and it can keep pouring water on it, keep pouring water on it. Doesn't work. When they get so big, that just doesn't work anymore. So what do you have to do? You have to set fires. And you set fires and it burns places around so there's no more fuel for the big fire to take. So you fight fire with fire. You know, some things take a reaction. In a temporal sense, if there's despotic regimes in the world, countries that invade country after country after country, taking them over, subjugating people, being cruel, killing millions. Why don't we like that? Because war's bad. Yes, it is. What do you have to do to make this cease? Declare war. You got to fight fire with fire. Jesus Christ overcame death by his own death. This is why he came. This is why the little babe in the manger, he was a merciless opponent. Jesus is all about mercy. Yes, he is. Toward those who love him, to his enemies, he is absolutely merciless. Jesus' combat against demons is, you know, that's why, actually, the reading from the gospel tonight, it actually started with the Peter's mother-in-law thing. I actually went a little bit before that because it makes the point. Because from Peter's mother-in-law thing into him healing and casting out, just in that little section right there, it speaks of demons two different times. And it really kind of loses its force if you don't see what happened at the synagogue between our Lord and the demoniac in the synagogue. Because when our Lord, this is what I mean about him being merciless to the demons. During this exorcism, he commands this demon. The demon comes, what do you have to do with us, Jesus? Have you come to destroy us? Know who you are? Jesus gives him the holy shut up. And he meant it very literally. Don't speak. Don't say. After he says that, after he said, there is not another word that comes out of the demon's mouth. Why? Because he can't. Because our Lord has commanded him. And it says, when he came out of the man, well, it said he came out screaming it. Yes, notice, it doesn't say, he didn't say anything. When he came out of the man, there was this dreadful shrieking and howling and roaring that he couldn't speak because our Lord told him not to. But why was he shrieking? Because our Lord's word were a scourge to him. This demon had possessed this man for how knows how. They don't want to let go. And our Lord with a word, a lash on his back, just one. Hard enough to send a demon shrieking out of this man. Our Lord was merciless toward them. How unwilling was this demon to leave this man? What power our Lord used was just the word. This is what I meant before about Jesus Christ. That little infant in Bethlehem was the weapon that God used. A weapon stronger than anything that has ever existed on the face of this planet in its destructive force. In its just sheer raw power. And he forbade the demon to speak. And then he scourged it by just speaking a word. This isn't just about Jesus. Tonight we did it was like, what mass should you do for this? It's like, the votive mass for the Eucharist. Why is that? Because this flesh that is the weapon of Almighty God in Bethlehem is the exact same body, blood, soul, and divinity that we bring within ourselves. And we bring it in ourselves not to make us feel all warm and fuzzy. It's to strengthen us, but not strengthen us to sit around and do nothing. It's to strengthen us for our spiritual battle against Satan. Jesus fought his fight. That's why it is finished. It is finished. And he looks at us and goes, now you take care of my light work. That's us. We're taking care of his light work, like trying to keep ourselves straight, which is, for some of us, a huge struggle in and of itself. We're also supposed to be overcoming the demonic spirits in this world. This is our battle, and we're strengthened for it divinely through his flesh, the flesh of the weapon that God sent. This is that whole full, put on the full armor of God thing, the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit, you know, all these things. Jesus, we need to fight. This is the reality. We're strengthened to do so by our Lord. This is why, you know, when we live this Catholic life, and this is what's so sad about our present day, it's not only that, oh, they don't talk about that anymore. They shun this. They shun it. They negate speaking about it. Yeah, Bishop Ralph, we don't use that term anymore, the church militant. No, sir, we do use that term. You don't. You don't because you're cowardly. You're either cowardly or you have no clue why you're here. You have no clue why our Lord Jesus Christ came. This is why you would say that. This is why we got to prepare ourselves, because most Catholics in our day are not prepared for spiritual warfare. They don't hear about spiritual warfare, not the reality and how nasty it is. It's almost like they're the 17-year-olds who see the recruiting posters before a war. Yeah, I want to join the military and I want to go fight because I like the medals and those uniforms and the flags and the music is so cool. Yeah, you're there for 5 minutes. Watch. Then the reality strikes. You don't want to do anything. Go home. You do anything to get back. That's the reality of warfare. This is what our spiritual warfare is about. The vast majority of Catholics don't even know they're in a fight. They like to wear the uniform. They like the music. They don't know the reality of this whole thing. This is why we need to do things like hear about sin. We need to know sin for what it is. Sin, an offense against God. Sin, something that will send you to hell. We cannot be ignorant of things. Ignorance of your enemy is a death sentence. You don't know your enemy. You underestimate him. You don't. Everybody knows around here, I'm a military history buff. I love reading books where, I mean, men will actually say, man, they told us that, during World War II, they told the Japanese they didn't have any good equipment, that they were just little guys, they were cowards and all this kind of stuff. All of a sudden, wow, they sunk a fleet in a day. If you take them a day, it was morning. What happened to those little guys who don't have any equipment? They were underestimated. It's how deadly that was. That's just the reality. And have time over time over time in warfare and in the human realm, how much in the spiritual realm? Oh, there might not even be a hell. That's why we avoid sin, because there is a real hell. We were supposed to avoid the near occasions of sin. Even the near occasion. Why? Because even getting close to it can be to the detriment of your soul. This is why our Lord wants us to know about this, and why it's so sad that we don't hear about it anymore. And again, it's not a, I used the word cowardly before. In a lot of places in the church, it's craven. Craven is worse than cowardly. It's not a word we use a whole lot. We should. It's craven. It's a contemptible lack of courage. Yeah, there could be people who don't want to get involved inside. I don't want to get involved. I don't want to say anything about that. You know, I might get in trouble. I don't want to get involved. That's a lack of courage. Cravenness is like when you see, you know, somebody doing something wrong to somebody who's absolutely helpless and you don't do anything about it and you could. That's craven. It's contemptible. It's despicable cowardice. That's what's going on now. We are supposed to be brave. This is what this is all about. I'll end you with the words of St. John Henry Newman. St. John Henry Newman, in his right, this excerpt comes from a book, from a sermon titled Warfare, the Condition of Victory. We want the victory in Christ. You have the victory in Christ. You can't have victory without warfare. You're not going to overcome the demons who want your soul without warfare. And in this homily titled Warfare, the Condition of Victory, St. John Henry Newman says, oh, let not your foot slip, or your eyes be false, or your ear dull, or your attention flagging. Do not be dispirited. Be not afraid. Keep a good heart. Be bold. Draw not back. You will be carried through. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.